Good morning. Welcome to our worship service this morning. It's God's saints' name. Glad that you could all be here and that we can enjoy this time as we gather now as God's saints, God's people, his children, to worship him, to hear from his word, to receive it, and to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the truth. We are glad to have visitors here. Thank you for being here. Feel free to fill out a blue card in your pews as you find them, and that's a way for us to get to know you a little bit better. If anybody has any prayer requests that they would like prayed for later in the service, you can fill out a yellow card, and that's and then they'll hand that out to the ushers, and then they will get that to me so that I can pray for those later in the service. I don't really have any specific prayer requests today other than be in prayer for our new intern and his family. And if you didn't get the word here this week, we did get approved for one this early in the week, and I had a chance to actually meet him and his wife and a couple of their kids on Wednesday, and so I was glad for that. Patrick Vandenbos is the intern's name, and his wife Anna, and they'll be joining us somewhere around the 1st of June, and so there's still a few months to go as he finishes up his studies, and that would be kind of the main prayer request for right now anyway, that we would be praying for Patrick and Anna as Patrick finishes up his studies at seminary before they join us here at the end of the school year. Pray too, I did find out his kids' names. I think it was Cassie that helped me with that yesterday when the Christian Ed Committee was meeting, but it's Caleb and Adeline and Joshua and Evelyn and Isaac and Axel. That's six, if you were counting, by my math anyway. And so it's a nice big family, and we're just looking forward to having them join us here in a few months and to have them with us for about a year. And so, like I said, though, keep them in prayer. And if you have questions about anything internship-related, just feel free to ask me or ask any of the council members also. I have a couple of announcements here that I want to just direct your attention to. You can see most of them in the insert, and I won't spend a lot of time with the schedule or anything, but you can take a look at what's going on this week. There is a meal this later this morning or right at noon here served by the men, and so if you would like to come back for that meal, you are certainly welcome to at noon after the second service and to enjoy that time of fellowship, and that's really what it's about. It's just about enjoying that time of fellowship together. There's no other special occasion for us to have the meal, but that's, I think, all the special occasion we need sometimes is just to sit down and have a meal together and enjoy that time. So come back at noon for that if you are able. And then one other thing I'll just mention next Sunday too, there is a donut fundraiser being sponsored by the youth. And so keep that in mind for next week, and that'll happen between services. They'll be serving donuts next week. A couple of things also coming up. Lent season is just around the corner, just a few weeks away. We are going to do our Lenten suppers again like we did last year, and that was really a nice time again of fellowship. And so if you are willing and able to host a meal, there's some information about that in the insert. I would ask you just to take a look at that. And then there is a sign-up sheet out in the hallway too. And so make sure to sign up for that if that's something that you can do. If you want to find a friend to do that with and to work on that together with, that would be great. Also, there's a lot of freedom there. And if you have any questions, you can talk to one of the hospitality committee members, and their names are listed in the bulletin. And then a couple other things where there's some paperwork, some sign-up sheets and things out in the hallway. You maybe noticed there are tables out there, and that's with our annual directory that's going to be printed here in a few weeks. And so if you have any edits that you would like made in the directory, a listing where your name is, please take a look at that while you can today. And there's a lot of flexibility with this. Basically, it's just a way for us to have a resource to go where we can have each other's names and addresses and phone numbers. If you are not in the directory, if you don't find your name out there, please add it if you would like to be in our directory, because we would like to have you in our directory if that's the case. And so do that. And if you happen to find your name in there and there's something that you don't want in there as far as personal information, you are free to X that out and everything too. So anyway, take a look at that. If you've been in the directory for 30 years, I still would like you to look at it just to make sure that there aren't any typos or that no addresses or phone numbers or email addresses have changed. And so anyway, please take a look at that. And then the other thing that's out there that I want to mention is there's a sign-up sheet for ushers. And that's a ministry that we have at the church that is very important. It's not super hard to do, and if you would like to usher at any time during the year, we go on a monthly basis, please take a look at that and fill out that sign-up sheet also. This is our first full year now, or the year that we're starting with two services, and so we need double the help that we've had in the past. And so there's two columns. If you would prefer to usher and not read scripture, you can just sign up for one. If you would prefer to read scripture and not usher, you can sign up for that one too for that particular month. And so please take a look at that and sign up for that as you are led. Okay, I think that's all I will mention. Are there any other announcements that I missed that need to be made? And if not, then let's hear our call to worship this morning. It's from Psalm 59. It says, I will sing of your strength. I will sing aloud of your steadfast love in the morning. For you have been to me a fortress and a refuge in the day of my distress. O my strength, I will sing praises to you. For you, O God, are my fortress, the God who shows me steadfast love. We have an amazing God, don't we? He is our fortress. He is the one who shows us steadfast love. As the psalm exhorts us, let's stand and sing loudly together as we sing of his steadfast love.
You may be seated. In Psalm 51:10, it says, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. We're singing, O great God.
O great God of highest heaven, occupy my lowly heart. Own it all and reign supreme. Conquer every rebel power. Let no vice or sin remain that resists your holy war. You have me, make me yours forevermore. I was blinded by my sin, had no ears to hear your voice, did not know your love within, had no taste for heaven's joys. Then your spirit gave me life. Open up your word to me. Through the gospel of your Son, give me endless hope and peace. Help me now to live a life that's dependent on your grace. Keep my heart and guard my soul from the evils that I face. You are worthy to be praised with my every thought and deed. O great God of highest heaven, glorify your name through me.
John 18:12 says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life.
The whole world was was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, his glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, 'tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. No darkness have we who in Jesus abide. The light of the world is Jesus. We walk in the light when we follow our guide. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, 'tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. Dwellers in darkness with sin-blinded eyes, the light of the world is Jesus. No need arise. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, 'tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. No need for the sunlight in heaven, we're told. The light of the world is Jesus. The Lamb is the light in the city of God. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, 'tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus.
In Philippians 2, verse 9, it says, "For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name."
To sing my dear Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumph of his grace. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honor of thy name. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life and health and peace. He breaks the power of reigning sin, he sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. He speaks and listening to his voice, new life the dead receive. The mournful broken hearts receive. Your humble poor believe.
Promise there in that last verse, new life the dead receive. And it's important as we enter into this time in our worship service now to recognize the dead nature of our sin and what the consequences of that are. And I was thinking this morning about these verses in 1 John. We're talking about the light of the world today, and Jesus' words in Matthew 5 that you are the light of the world. We are the light of the world. and it's all in him who is the light of the world. And 1 John talks about light also, and it talks about it in the context of light and darkness and the reality of the darkness that our sin causes. And it says that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. And then verse 8, a little further down, it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And so it's important, it's necessary for us to be able to acknowledge that we have sin. If we say we have no sin, we're lying. And so this is what we do now in this time in the worship service, is to say we have sin, to confess our sin, and then to hear his forgiving message from his word also. And so join me in that. You'll find our confession of sins on the screen. It's also in the bulletin. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Reading here again in 1 John. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our hope today and our peace is found in God's perfect justice, which was appeased on the cross that day, where Jesus took our place. He bore God's wrath, and he made it so that we might have his righteousness. We have his forgiveness because of Jesus. And so we stand today forgiven, cleansed, washed, righteous, justified in God's sight. We praise him and we thank him for that today. Amen. This time I'll call on Don Berge to read our scripture.
The Old Testament lesson for this Sunday is found in Isaiah, the 55th chapter, verses 5 through 9. Would you please stand for the reading of the word? Isaiah 58, beginning with verse 5. Is such the fast that I chose? A day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed? And to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring homeless and poor into your home? When you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The Lord will answer, shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. And you shall cry, and he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness. The epistle lesson is found in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, the first 5 verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. This ends the reading for today.
Let's join together in confessing our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. At this time, I'll call on the ushers to wait upon us. Thank you, Father, for these gifts. Thank you for the many ways in which you so richly and abundantly provide for us. You are so good to us, and so we thank you for that, Lord. I pray that you would use these gifts for your kingdom's work. Help us to be faithful stewards and caretakers of all that you give us. Bless this time now, we pray in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Before the message this morning, let's turn in our hymnals then and sing together hymn number 263, O Word of God Incarnate, number 263. This is these three chapters, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And these are pretty famous verses. You've maybe heard them before. I'm just going to read for you four verses, Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 13. I'd ask if you would please stand with me, if you are able, as I read these verses out of respect for God's word. Matthew chapter 5, and beginning with verse 13, Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Here ends our reading. Father, these are your words. These words shine light into a dark world, because you, O Word of God incarnate, are the light of the world. And I pray that as we study these verses that call us to be salt and to be light, that you would impress upon our hearts these important truths, and that you would maybe convict us of sin where that is necessary, where we have failed in this regard. God, I pray that you would comfort us too with the good news of the gospel that tells us that in you we are light, and that we find our hope and our confidence and assurance in you today and each day. Bless this time now, I pray, in your name, amen. You may be seated. For 7 years of my childhood, I lived in a small town called Faith in western South Dakota. Faith is a neat community. It's rather unique. I think I've shared some of its characteristics with some of you over the years. Some of the stories that I remember as a kid center around the remote nature of the city. I remember it being said that it is the town in America that is farthest from a major trauma center. And so you have to go over 100 miles to get to any significant medical help when you live in Faith. Related to that, Faith is also in rattlesnake country, and I remember being told a joke in town that really isn't a joke, that at the small clinic in town, they could afford one dose of rattlesnake anti-venom at a time in their inventory, and so the joke was that if it ever happened that two people in the area got bit on the same day, the first one to the clinic wins, and the other one has to drive about 40 miles to the next clinic and hope they get there in time. Another memory I have. You get this picture now of the town being, frankly, in the middle of nowhere. And if you've been to western South Dakota, western North Dakota is like this too. Trees are sparse. and there are miles of nothing, and you can see for miles. I remember my grandpa and grandma flying into Rapid City down there one time, and it's 120 miles between there and Faith, and once we got out of Rapid City, he counted 10 houses he could see from the highway in 120 miles. It's wide open country. Well, I remember many nights riding in the back seat of the family car and being amazed by our ability to see the town, to see Faith 30, 40, even 50 miles away. I remember a stretch of a road about 40 miles north of town where you could see four different towns at night. Lemon to the north, Bison to the west. Yes, they say it Bison out there. Isabel to the east, and Faith to the south. You see, Faith is a city on a hill, and at night, it shined brilliantly for miles. I think of that whenever I read this text. Jesus compared our light as Christians to the light that you see coming from a city on a hill at night, shining as a beacon for all to see. A light that stands in stark contrast to the darkness surrounding it. That's what we are as Christians. We are light that sticks out like a sore thumb in a dark world. We are salt that is distinct and useful. We personify these traits differently. I think, for example, that sometimes we can fall into the trap of seeing these as character traits that are better suited for extroverts, for example. Extroverts are the ones who are distinct. They're the ones who brightly stick out in society. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way at all. But you know those people in your lives. But Jesus is clear here that Christians are salt. Christians are light. I think sometimes we misunderstand how to apply these truths. And we think they are descriptive of what our personality is supposed to be like. But that's not what Jesus says here. And my prayer today is that we will see what these verses do mean for each and every one of us. Whatever your personality, whatever your age, whatever your station in life. The first quality that Jesus points out regarding his disciples is that they are the salt of the earth. Salt is distinct. Salt brings out flavor. It's useful. It purifies and cleanses. That's how Elisha used it in 2 Kings chapter 2. He had just succeeded Elijah after Elijah was taken up into heaven, and Elisha goes to Jericho, and his first act then as the prophet for God's people there is that they told him that the water in the city was bad. And so he asked for a bowl of salt, and he threw salt in the water and proclaimed in the Lord's name that the water was healed. It was a miracle. Salt preserves. Salt is penetrating. We're thankful for that this time of year, aren't we? And the power of salt to penetrate and break up ice on our sidewalks and streets. Salt is useful. And that's what we are as Christians in this world. God uses us for his purpose and for his glory. And we are distinct. We're different. And that's a good thing. Because God uses us to deliver his purifying and cleansing word to those who need it. We practice that even with each other. It's increasingly unique to come to church on a Sunday morning and to go to Sunday school. But we do because it is here that we are purified and cleansed through his word. As salt, we preserve. We preserve God's word, in a sense. It's not that God's word needs us to keep it going, per se. God's word remains forever. But the body of Christ stands up and defends and promotes God's word and preserves its presence in society. And that word penetrates. Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is living and active, sharp, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Just as salt is uniquely able to penetrate a sheet of ice, God's word penetrates into the soul like nothing else can do. And friends, that can be scary. It is scary. And the next verse in Hebrews acknowledges that. God's word is sharp. It's penetrating. And then the writer of Hebrews says, no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. This is why we talk about God's holiness and our sin and our inability to measure up to God's holy standard, even though that message is increasingly unique. Because it's the truth of God's word, and so we talk about it. We preach it. Even if nobody else is. Thankfully, there are many others who are. And the good news is that in the next verse in Hebrews, we read that we have Jesus Christ as our high priest who sympathizes with our weakness, who remained sinless through temptation, so that in him we receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And it's that word that brings healing, true healing. That's the message that we share, and it is unique. It's salty in a good way. Law that condemns, that kills, and gospel that gives life. Mankind's old nature is to avoid that, though. Our nature is to hide our shame, just like Adam and Eve right after their first sin. And rather than deal with the core root of our problem, our rotten nature, people find all sorts of ways to just skim over it or ignore it or avoid it. We love to keep trimming down the weeds in our life by explaining them away or dealing with the surface problems that they cause because we think it's a lot easier and less painful, but the problem is that they keep growing back. And they don't go away until we get into the root and deal with that. And that's what God's penetrating word does. But if we lose that, if we ignore that, if we reject it, we lose the penetrating and preserving and cleansing word of God because that's what makes salt what it is. If we lose the word, if we lose the taste, the power of the salt, then what use is this? That's what Jesus is getting at here. If salt loses its saltiness, its taste, Jesus says it is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Friends, as the salt of the earth, we must keep God's word. God's word is what makes us unique and distinct. And if we lose that, we, the salt, are no longer good for anything. So what does God's word do that makes us so distinct? What does it say? It kills and makes alive, like I said earlier. And then as God's word shapes us and molds us and grows us, the rest of Jesus' sermon here in Matthew 5 through 7 describes what that looks like, how we fulfill this calling as the salt of the earth. If you want some homework today, I'd encourage you to go home and read this entire sermon from Jesus. It's these three chapters, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. For now, I'll just list some of the things that Jesus describes in those following verses and chapters of what salt looks like. Okay, what does salt taste like? We don't let anger fester. We deal with it. We seek reconciliation. That's different. That's unique. It's distinct. We love our enemies. We don't seek revenge. We don't lust. We hold marriage in high esteem. We guard our words. We give to those who need help. We pray. We fast. We value what Christ has done for us more than anything else. We're not anxious. We don't judge. He ends the sermon by saying that we build our lives on the rock, on the Word of God and the Word made flesh. This is what it means to be the salt of the earth. This is what God has called us to, and He uses us in wonderful and mighty ways as His salt. You are the light of the world. That's the second picture given here. Now in John 8, Jesus calls Himself the light of the world. And we believe that He is the light that shines in dark places. But here in these verses, He calls His disciples, you and me, to fulfill that role in this world. That people might see Him in us, working in us, that which is pleasing in His sight. And that's a pure joy for us to do. It can be fun and in exciting and loud ways that we are the light. But it can also be that we are the light when we are in quiet faithfulness raising our children to know and love Jesus. That's a bright, shining light good work. It can be going to work every day and doing your job to the best of your ability. That shines light. Sometimes people think that the light of the world means effectively witnessing to all of your coworkers, for example. Sometimes shining Christ's light means keeping your mouth shut when everybody else is gossiping or slandering another coworker. This is kind of what I was getting at earlier when I mentioned that being salt and light are not specific to any personality type. God's given us our personalities and He uses them in different ways, and answering God's call to be salt and light really doesn't have anything to do with your personality or what it is. It simply means believing in the power of God's word to bring salvation and life to you and loving Him. That's what it means. And then we follow Jesus and His word, and it's a joy to do that wherever God places us in life and however He uses us according to the gifts and abilities that He has given us. And I want to be clear on that. When Jesus says here in verse 16, to let your light shine, He's not calling us to do this out of coercion or compulsion. This is important. This is necessary. This is who we are. Okay? And this is what we do willingly and joyfully, new nature, the one that was given to us because of Christ. Isaiah chapter 58, Mr. Berge read already this morning, and I want to go back there because the prophet here, as he's prophesying, really, really brings out this difference in our motivation and why we do what we do, why we are what we are. Isaiah 58 and verse 5. He says, is such the fast that I choose? And so I already talked about fasting. I mentioned that in the list. Jesus talks about that later in the Sermon on the Mount. That's one of the things that we do that shines our light, okay? And so Isaiah says, is this the fast that I choose? A day for a person to humble himself. Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? Okay, so will this fast be one that is just oppressive and burdensome? Where you spread yourself in sackcloth and ashes, you bow down your head like a reed and you wallow. Is that what we're talking about here when we're talking about good work? Where we have to do it and it's a burden to do it. But then verse 6, is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke. You see, in Christ, in our new nature, following God's law is not a burden, it's a joy. To let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke, is it not to share your bread then with the hungry? And so in this freedom that we have in Christ because he has won salvation for us, we take joy then in serving others, in loving others. Sharing your bread with the hungry, bring the homeless poor into your house when you see the naked to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. Then shall your light break forth like the dawn and your healing shall spring up speedily. Doesn't that sound fun? Your righteousness shall go before you, the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry and he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and the speaking wickedness. Friends, there is great freedom to be found in Christ. Great freedom and assurance that our home is heaven, and that we are bound there, and then great freedom to love and to serve our neighbor, whoever they are, whoever God puts in our lives. Your spouse, your children, your neighbor, your coworker, your church members, whoever it is. The Christian delights in God's law. Francis Pieper is the guy who kind of wrote the textbook on Lutheran doctrine. He says, Christians perform their duty by, he calls it inner necessity, by a natural compulsion, just as the tree, because of its good nature, bears fruit, just as the sun is driven by its nature to shine. Another way of saying that, the sun can't not shine, right? A city on a hill can't be hidden. People don't light a lamp and then put it under a basket or a bushel if you've had the old children's song running through your head this entire time. The radiant light of Christ brings joy to our lives. The Lamb of God has come and taken away our sins. We've been cleansed from the root, from the deepest part of our being through the finished work of Christ on the cross. And so we rejoice. And we willingly follow Christ. That list that I gave earlier from the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus goes after he finishes this little portion here. These things are necessary. We don't let anger fester. We seek reconciliation. We don't lust. We hold marriage in high esteem. We guard our words. We don't seek revenge. We love our enemies. We give to those who need help. We pray, fast. We value what Christ has done. We're not anxious. We don't judge. We build our lives on the rock. We do those things in joy and freedom because the light of Christ has shined into our very beings and brought life to you and me. We must follow God's word. We must do those things. In our sin, we can't. We mess it up all the time. But in Christ, we do those things. It's kind of a miracle. And we do because of the joy and the freedom that we have in Christ. And friends, the world sees that. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. The lamp gives light to all in the house. It's one of my prayers for each of you individually, for each of you as families, in our respective neighborhoods, but it's my prayer for our congregation too. That St. Paul's is a bright city that can't be hidden, even if we are tucked away kind of off the main road in a quiet little neighborhood. That the light of Christ shines brilliantly here. That we are a shining, bright beacon where the light of Christ radiates in love to God and to one another. And all of it is, as Jesus says, to give glory to our Father who is in heaven. Because it's His light that shines in us and through us. This is why we are salt and light to the world. So that we would lead people to Christ Himself. That's our mission. It's our calling. It's our joy. Amen. Let's sing as we close a wonderful hymn, Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It. It's hymn number 518. The words will be on the screen. Also, please stand with me if you will as well as we sing these words, Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It. God, for the redemption that is ours, that was purchased for us on the cross on that Good Friday. Thank you, God, for the victory over sin and death and the devil that is ours. Because Jesus conquered those things when He rose from the grave. Hallelujah. In that joy, God, I pray that You would help us to be salt and to be light in this dark world. To follow this calling that You have called us to. Forgive us, Lord, when we fail, when we fall short. Thank You, God, for Your steadfast love, for Your mercies, which are new. And God, I pray that abiding in You, remaining in You, we would continue to grow and to bear much fruit. And I'm so glad that the promise of Scripture is that that's exactly what happens. And so, Lord, I pray that You would use us according to Your will for Your kingdom's work. It's exciting to see that happening here at St. Paul's, in our communities, in our families, and I pray that that very good work would continue. Help us to that end, to follow Your call. Teach us, grow us, strengthen us each day. Lord, I thank You for this time that we've had. I thank You for Your word. I thank You for the cleansing power that it has to wash away our sins. God, I pray that You would be with those who couldn't be here today for whatever reason. Maybe there are those who are sick, who are, I know some are recovering from recent hospital stays. Lord, I pray that You would watch over them and bring healing to them, comfort and peace today. I pray for Greta, who we've been praying for already, Lord, too. And Lord, I pray that You would be with her and her little baby, Zoe. Thank You, God, for a safe delivery, but I pray that You would be with them as Zoe is very premature and has a long road ahead of her. God, we pray for strength for Zoe and for Greta as they recover. Lord, we thank You for being our great physician, for healing us from our sin, and for giving us life. Hear us now as we pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now receive the benediction. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.